Cooking in the Dark. This is actually going to be blind like me of Cooking in the Dark. And we have the usual. Well, let me first introduce our keyboard player. It's John Justice, everybody. We all know John.
Hey, all right.
As you might have gathered, we have a live audience today for Cooking in the Dark. It's kind of... I'm distorting, aren't I? Stop that. Stop that distorting, Phil. Just quit that. Anyway, we are in Houston. Tell us, where are we, Tom?
Well, we're at the Sheridan North Houston at Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, Texas, believe it or not.
Yeah. It was... It was going to be the John Kerry International Airport, but you know what happened, and so here we are.
That's right.
Yes, and we have a live audience of, 30 people? Including Susie and Boop, if you want to include them. We have folks from, from all over the nation, a lot of folks from in northeast Pennsylvania. That's the only state he carried. And Tom Houston's here, of course. Everybody give Tom a nice hand.
Thank you, Don Patterson's
hiding back in the corner somewhere.
Hey.
And Don Shaw's here also.
All right.
And you probably already know I'm Garrison Keillor. And it's good to be with you. And now introducing, ladies and gentlemen, the man who has done so many Cooking in the Dark shows, it's hard to believe he's 70% water. Ladies and gentlemen, Dale Campbell.
Hey.
Dale, that would be you. See, Dale.
I'm looking for the mic.
We're cooking in the dark, but we're not doing the show in the dark.
He's cooking, but he lost his mic. It's amazing.
How's everybody doing out there?
Everybody's good. You missed the morning session. It was quite good. We had had a lot of folks talked about a lot of interesting blind subjects, and we're going to do this Cooking in the Dark. Then we're going to play some music tonight. Tomorrow morning we're going to record a blind handyman. You're going to stay the night, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be here all night.
And so, well,
that could be good or bad, I guess.
It could be both.
Yeah,
your mother's here.
Mom's here.
Your mom's here. Nice hand for Dale's mom.
Yay.
Who has a name, and it's Tony, is that right?
That's right.
Tony is her name, and she brought him out and all his cooking supplies to do a little cooking. So go ahead, sir. It's your show. Go ahead.
All right. We're going to be doing, first we were trying to decide what can we cook with no power, but then we brought in some extension cords and a electric skillet, so we're going to do a poor man's version of beef stroganoff. And then while that's going on, I've also got some shrimp brochettes and some jalapeno brochettes ready to do on the little George Foreman for everybody here that's in attendance.
That sounds good.
So I think we're, we're ready to go.
So are we going to eat these when we get through?
Oh, yeah, we're going to eat them.
All right.
So we need to find a volunteer to get to the bar.
What's the problem with pizza and beer? Who mentioned nobody's wanting pizza and beer? We'll have shrimp and stuff. Right?
Yeah, no shrimp and snacks.
Shrimp
what
and snacks.
Deal.
All right, sir. Tell us what
you're doing. So what we've started off to do with this dinner is real easy, real simple, and you can pretty much fix it to the number of folks or number of servings that you want to have. What I've done is taken one white onion and diced it up nice and fine. I'm going to saute the onion for a little while in the electric skillet, and then to that I'm going to add some sliced white mushrooms, one pint of those. And while those are all smelling the room up nice and getting everybody hungry, we'll grill some brochettes. But getting back to the stroganoff, we're going to also toss in and brown about 2 pounds of ground beef. And then to that, we'll add a can of cream of mushroom soup, some sour cream, and mix it all up. And that's all there is to it. Let it simmer and then serve it over rice. You can serve it over pasta. You can serve it over Chinese noodles, whatever you want. But we've got Chinese noodles for everybody that wants to sample of it.
Do you want to do email before you start cooking?
Yeah, why don't we do some email? And while that's going on, I'll start getting the onion sauteing.
We'll do
everything.
Okay, Dale, here we go. This from Claudia says, hello, can anyone give me some tips on melting chocolate? I tried to do this in the microwave the other day, and I burned it. Well, of course, as the measuring cup it was in.
Whoops.
I was repeatedly checking it, but maybe this wasn't the way to do it. Help.
Well, wonder how long she did it. I did it for 3 hours.
Question.
Of course I burned the measuring cup. 2 weeks. Set the house on fire.
After a while.
What I've tried to do when I melt mine in the microwave is watch it, put it in for a few, about 20 or 30 seconds at a time, and keep the, not the power on real high. But we've got an expert in the house on melting chocolate, Henry Casson. Why don't you give us some tips on your melting chocolate?
Nice answer. I know you don't like him, but he's here.
Well, actually, I was going to recommend probably the best way to melt chocolate is to give it to our piano player, John Jesse. You know, he's pretty hot today. And actually, he goes by, I thought he went by Panama Jack, but it's really Panama Red with his little trusty sidekick, Mescalito, his dog guide. Get to know these guys later. But
you mean,
yeah.
Ear.
The deal about giving advice about doing anything in a microwave is microwaves' power ranges between 500 watts to 1,200 watts, and everybody's got a different one, and you have to really know what you got. And so what Dale recommended is the best way to do something for the first time is to do it for a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds, and check it. Now, in the new Super, I just bought a new microwave, and it's 1,200 watts. I don't think I'd do it 30 seconds because it would melt the glass. Chocolate gets pretty hot. You want to just get it soft. You just want it to melt. You don't want it to melt all the way. So depending on your power level, do it anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds, and then stop it. And it's not hot, so you can stick your finger in it and see what it's like. Or you can use a spoon if you don't like, you know, licking your finger when you're done. But that's what I would do is I would just stick my finger in it and just move it around. If it's too hot to touch, you cooked it way too long. Stick it in an ice bath real fast is about the best way you can save it. But that's not really... That doesn't happen too often. Once chocolate is burnt, it tastes burnt, and you can't resurrect it. Best thing to do is throw it away. But, you know, just cook it for about 10 or 30 seconds in your microwave, stir it around, try it, and then just keep doing that. But you don't want to melt it to a liquid state. You still want it to be clumpy. So as soon as you feel that it's some of it's melted and some of it's clumpy, then just stir it up. Don't use the microwave anymore.
And it will, and the clumps will melt.
The clumps will melt by the residual heat.
Yeah.
So you can do that, or you can use a bain-marie or a water bath or whatever, which is really not that difficult to do. You just put the bowl in hot water. If it's hot to your touch, it's hot enough to melt the chocolate. And that's chocolate's really, or just put it in your car if you live in Texas.
And that's all we need to know, folks. That's it. But he knows chocolate from melting, doesn't he? You'd have to get. Isn't that nice to watch Dale stirring, actually doing?
It smells great. Yeah, I don't know how you guys are smelling it back there.
Yeah, you guys finally get to be privy to the great aroma.
You always do this, and we never get to eat any of it. We never get to eat the real sound effects or the real odoriferous.
Today's
the day.
Oh, man.
But you don't get to use the word odoriferous too often in a sentence, and I thought I'd work it in.
Well, try that room back in the back. Everybody keeps going in and out.
That's odoriferous. Anyway, we're in Houston, Texas, and Dale's cooking in the dark, sir. What are you doing? Tell us.
Right now, we're what we've got going on, we've got the mushrooms. Hey, there's the microphone.
There it is.
We've got the mushrooms in with the onion sauteing up. I'm adding the ground beef now. I'm kind of tearing it up. It's a big 2-pound pack of ground sirloin that we're tossing in, and I'm just putting it in clumps so that it'll help brown a little easier and quicker. Once it gets good and brown, we'll add in the sour cream and we'll add in the mushroom soup.
Did your mother teach you how to do all this?
Yeah, actually, this is an old meal that we've had forever, and my brother and I nicknamed it dog food because that's what it looked like, was dog food.
What a deal.
I actually just go by the meat. When the meat is brown, and when you go to actually feel the meat or start stirring it around, when it's browned or cooked through, it's a little more crumbly. When it's not, when it's still raw, it's pretty soft to the touch. It's almost like cookie dough, and you can kind of feel that tactile difference in the meats while it's in the skillet.
You can feel it with your big spoon or your spatula or whatever you're using.
Right,
to move it around. You can feel that come back to you
Just by the tactile touch, you can tell if the meat's done or not. Same way like cooking a steak or chicken on the grill by just pressing on it after you get practice. And, you know, it takes a little practice, but you can definitely touch it and tell how done it is or not done. Now, if you want to get really fancy, you can use that cooking thermometer, that talking cooking thermometer, which works magnificently.
You could, couldn't you?
Do you have that with you?
No. You know, I went off and left it at home this morning. I was lucky to get myself here this morning after the celebration last night.
I forgot. Dale turned 40 yesterday. He's the youngest person in the... I would have brought mine, except I haven't paid for it, and I'm afraid you might take it away from me.
Take it back.
Confiscation. Yeah, but they were the thermometer works really great. It's
it does.
On a long probe, and you simply slide it in into the meat or whatever you want to check the temperature of, water. Anything, and I've learned to just let it sit in there for about 30 seconds to actuate itself to the temperature. You press a button on the thermometer itself, and it will say, you know, please wait. And then it will come back about 15 seconds later and read you the temperature. So, and needless to say, I don't go swimming anymore in the pool without checking the temperature first.
And this is, I know that you've seen some in blind catalogs. They had a deal with it was on the end of a fork or something one time that I bought that didn't work worth a damn.
Yeah, it sure didn't.
And it wasn't. But this thing actually works. I mean, it really
does. It reads you, what I love about it, it reads you an actual temperature degree.
It does what it's supposed to do. So that, if you want one, Dale would be happy to take your order. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we've got a special deal. And in fact, for everybody listening and everybody in the audience, I've just been turned on to a new one that's available or supposed to be available. That this cooking thermometer we're talking about retails with a lot of people from $120 to $250. Go figure, huh? Something for the blind that talks, and it's and cheap, right?
It costs eight times as much.
Yeah, but I've been given some information, and I'm awaiting one to be delivered that I can test before we start saying, hey, use this one. It's $35. It's supposed to do the same thing.
Really? Oh, man.
Now, the thermometer that Phil and I both have has a temperature range from 55 below zero to 275 degrees. This one that's supposed to be coming out has a range from 0 degrees to 275. So as long as it works, gosh.
So you think that when you first think about that, you think, well, 275 is not warm enough, but it is, because like the recommended temperature for cooking chicken is 175 degrees. I mean, so you
internal
temperature.
Yeah.
So you don't cook things that, I mean, a steak, you wouldn't get much above 200, even if it was well done, would it?
No. Oh, it'd be way well done if it was 200 degrees.
I wouldn't
think
so.
Yeah.
But you may want to cook it at 5,000 degrees to get there real quick.
Well, you could put in the oven with that lady's melting chocolate.
Yeah.
What would you have?
One charcoal briquette and chocolate to go with it.
Do we have other email you've got?
Yes, we have a couple more here.
Want to read another one?
Hi, guys. I've just discovered I have only about a half a teaspoon of baking powder left, and I'm right in the middle of mixing batter for a lemon syrup loaf. Could some knowledgeable person out there tell me how to make up your own baking powder? It is a combination of baking soda and something else. Is it cream of tartar? And I'm not sure of the proportions either.
Man, I have...
Hey.
Anybody got the answer? Anybody know the answer?
Henry?
I'd be a liar if I said I did, but that's trillion to get. If it's posted on
okay. Yeah, we've got Mr. Houston.
Andrew.
Enlighten us.
wrote and said, hi, Joe. Half teaspoon baking soda plus 1 teaspoon cream of tartar equals 1 teaspoon baking powder. Good luck with the loaf.
What is cream of tartar?
I don't know.
I thought tartar was something you had on your teeth.
You got cream of tartar.
Oh,
and that would be a situation where you're needing to know your neighbors really well.
You would. You need to go get tartar sauce.
Cream of tartar is just another seasoning or spice or something.
I guess. You could buy off the shelf at Randall's. Well, come up here. You can't talk from back there.
Well, come up here and tell us.
You'll have to come up here and tell us.
Get the voila out.
Who is that, Susie?
The white pen thing.
Susie. All Susie right. Orange, ladies and gentlemen,
make an appearance here.
Coming to help us. Help us. We need help. You're going to give her a mic, Chumble?
Yes.
Okay. Cream of tartar is actually, it doesn't come in those little cans like your seasoning, but it's used in egg whites when you're making meringue to make it fluffy and glossy. And I think it's also used in divinity, but if you have cream of tartar, it's going to last a long, long, long time.
In other words, it isn't something you'd buy some and you'd have it for a lifetime supply, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
It isn't something you'd use too often.
No.
Do you have some in your cupboard?
Yes, a little. I don't like meringue.
Well, you're no fun anymore.
What a deal.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Susie. We appreciate that.
Right.
We do. Anybody else have answers to questions? We have lots of questions.
Audience participation.
Audience participation.
Here.
That's what we need.
That's great. We need to start doing these live shows all the time.
I think we're going to give we're going to give her a Buick.
All right. That 1965 one out there with the four flat tires?
That's probably the one we came down in. I have no idea. Oh, that was good. Jack Daniels. Do you have more emails or
yes,
not?
Yes, sir. I've got one here. It says, before cooking that meal, does anyone have any really good ideas for filling those ice trays to keep them from spilling drops of water while carrying to the freezer?
Now, this was sent in by our own Mr. Don Shaw. Does that sound familiar, Don?
Like that. Boy, it wouldn't be me.
Filling ice trays?
Yeah, boy.
That's what I tell him.
That's
what
I would
say. My answer to the question. Buy an ice maker.
The ice maker question.
Says a way to keep the ice tray perfectly level while en route to the freezer. That's what he's looking for.
That's right.
Huh?
This won't help keep the tray level. This is an answer. This came from Boop, by the way. Now, I guess she could answer it. She's here.
Boop, you want to come answer this question?
Answer
come on, Boop, and answer this
person.
Question for us. Come here.
What?
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, here's Boop, folks. The den mother of our blind like me list.
Yeah, I'll be the den mother as soon as I find some Boy Scouts. I said my idea wouldn't work because you just put the cookie sheet down and you put the trays on top of that. But I had some other ideas that you could have the tray and... You know, already buy the ice and just fill up the trays with the frozen ice.
Oh.
That would work. You wouldn't spill any. Nobody liked my idea.
I think it's a fine idea. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You have to use your imagination
if
you're...
You really want to go back in time, maybe you could just have the ice man come by once a
week. Any ice today, ladies. It's nice today, ladies. Get a little before it melts away. That's a song I used to do. All right.
The other one is Tupperware, I know, one thing, makes ice trays that have a cover on them that you can put the cover on and fill them that way so there'll be no problem.
You know, I've seen those.
And Ann Morris also.
That's a good idea.
I think Ann Morris and some of the other independent vendors, blindness vendors, also make cups that you can fill with water and you get little ice cubes out of those too.
Tim Cummings, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
All right.
He gets the Buick. All right, and give it to Tim. He gets the Buick. You know, I've seen those. Tupperware. Tupperware is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Great little products that you need for your home. You got more, Tom?
We've got a response to that from someone named Cinnamon.
Okay.
Says, hi, all. I know how you feel about those ice trays. My dad, he's very much sightist, would yell at me when I spilled drops of water on the way to the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
What I finally did was put the empty ice cube trays in the freezer and fill a small pitcher with water and pour the water into the trays.
I've done that.
That makes sense.
But I usually make a mess there. I usually get
spill
drips
all the water
down the side of the freezer.
And, yeah, it freezes.
You know,
and then there
you are.
Yeah. So.
I think if my dad got mad at me for dripping drops of water on the floor, I think I'd just turn the damn ice cube tray over and say, I'll show you.
Water.
That's why you spent so many years in reform school, Henry. See, that's it. See, that'll do it every time. See? You know, while we're talking about Henry, we need to thank your wife for going and Emily for going and fetching lunch for us today.
Yeah.
Her name is Janice. Is it Janet or Janice?
Yeah, she's watching the Texas Tech game.
She's watching the Texas Tech game. Is she really the Rat Fink?
Missing all this.
I take it back. We don't thank you. No, we do. That was really great of her to go get a little lunch. Dale, we've lost you.
We are. I'm just sitting here listening to everybody talk. It's great. I've got a little time off while we're cooking here. We've got the hamburger meat is pretty much browned. We're getting ready to add, and we're going to add 2 cans of cream of mushroom soup. And I bought the cream of mushroom that has the roasted garlic flavor just to give it a little pizzazz. And then... Once we add it in, we'll stir it in, mix it up, and then we will also add the sour cream. It's a pint of sour cream, and we'll just mix it all up, and we're going to turn the electric skillet down to a simmer and just let all the flavors mesh in together. And then we'll be eating soon, y'all. I've got the grill going, getting hot, the George Foreman here getting warm, so we can start doing some brochettes as well.
Is that Campbell's cream of mushroom soup?
Of course it's Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. Campbell's is good.
Does he work for Campbell's? Campbell's? Henry, do you have a? Do you work for? You do everything else. You work. You.
I work for Tupperware.
Well, you work for Tupperware.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. I thought you did. I saw that on your van. Why don't we take just a short break and have John Justice play us a little something and take a short break. Everybody clear their throat and have a drink and hope for the best and be back in just a minute with more of our little show called Blind Like Me, Cooking in the Dark in Houston, Texas. John.
Right.
Hi, my name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine for seniors.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
In Texas, doing Cooking in the Dark show with Dale Campbell. Tom Houston is here. Don Shaw is here. Don Patterson and a host of other people who have flown in or gotten here some way. Some of them drove.
And damn, their arms are tired.
Some of them do what?
Yeah, Dale. That's it. Long
and Dale's mama, Tony, is here. His mother brought him out to do a little Cooking in the Dark, and they're going to stay and listen to the music tonight. And Dale Campbell is cooking what, sir? Tell us your...
Right now, we're queuing up the old George Foreman, putting it on 7 minutes, pressing start, and we've got some jalapeno brochettes on the George. We've got the beef stroganoffing right now. It'll be ready to go pretty soon.
Sure,
we've got my
good,
assistant,
too.
My mom, my chauffeur, stirring yeah. in, taking over, which is pretty nice. I like this. This is almost like being old Emerald, right? Having everybody else run around and do everything for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, what a deal.
Yeah, that's great.
Man.
So in just a little bit, everything will be coming together. But the stroganoff is so easy, y'all, and it's very good. And the longer it sits, if you make a big batch of it, put it in some Tupperware. Henry will hook you up with that, seeing how he's the sales representative in our territory.
Yeah.
And just save it. I mean, it's great on everything. I've even taken it and put it in tortillas before and rolled it up and eaten it that way.
Good.
But the longer it sits, the mushroom soup and the onions... excuse me. Need a drink. Seem to really flavor the meat and flavor everything a lot more.
Yeah,
that's Dale Campbell, ladies and gentlemen. Dale, what's are you okay?
Sorry, I'm dying over here.
Are you all right? You're going to be. Listen, what does it feel like to be 40? Just tell us that before you get before you get too involved.
Man.
We've all passed 40 a long time ago. What the hell does it feel like to be 40?
Really?
I hope you live to be 41.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, 40 was something when I was in my 20s. I thought, man, I'll never live to be 40.
Mm-hmm.
I worked hard not to, but here I am.
Yeah.
40 is going to be all right. I think 40 to me is better than 39. I like saying I'm 40. Better than saying 39. Because everybody, you say 39, everybody goes, oh, you're almost 40.
Well, you may.
You know what? I'm there now, baby.
Yeah, you're there now.
You're no looking back.
That the longer you get comfortable with being 40, and it just doesn't, you don't really start going downhill until you hit 50. So you got 10 more good years.
All right. I like that.
Be careful on the 50.
That will work out well.
Be careful on the 50, huh?
Yeah. That'll get you. So stroganoff.
A brochette is basically a shrimp wrapped with cheese and bacon. Or a jalapeno brochette is a jalapeno that I've taken. It's a pickled jalapeno that we've taken and removed the seeds, that we've inserted a shrimp and mozzarella cheese, wrapped it in bacon, and tossed it on the George, on the old George Foreman grill here.
Wow.
Now, you can bake these in your oven as well. Or put them on an outdoor grill or anything like that, but they come out marvelous.
Somebody go fill a water bottle from the water bottle that we have from Home
Depot.
That we have from Home. Everybody has water bottles from Home Depot. Maybe
they
bring Dale a drink of water if somebody could.
We got you one, Dale. We saved one.
All right. Somebody's looking out for me.
Yeah. Someone's got you covered, don't they?
Someone's got you covered.
Okay, now the stroganoff, we've got the mushroom soup in, we've got it mixed up, and we're adding the sour cream now.
But
and
yeah,
we'll put the cover back on the skillet and just let it simmer for about 10 minutes. And we'll be ready to start serving up some snacks if anybody would like any.
I'll be ready. And, Dale.
No waiting at the end of the line for Mr. Shaw.
No waiting at the end of the line. That's right, man. When it comes to shrimp and good food, man, I'll be ready. But back to that stroganoff, man. It seems like the longer that sits and everything simmers together, man, it just gets better.
Yeah, the flavors just really work in and really meld together for a great taste.
Oh yeah.
Now something else you can do if you want to make it a little fancier, you could take a sirloin and grill it or pan fry it, broil it in the oven, then take it out and cut it down into like say 1/4-inch wide strips, and then toss it in with the soup and the sour cream. And if you want to, you can also add some red wine to it for a little extra flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Which we had a bottle of wine, but man, I don't know what happened to it on the way up here.
Don't know what happened to that wine, huh?
It isn't. Shrimp en brochet was originally a Cajun. The first time I ever ate it was at a place called Mulot's in Brobridge, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is it a kind of a Cajun? Did it start out over there? From Louisiana or not?
Yeah, I would say so. Or yeah, I mean, who knows?
So. We don't have anyone here from Louisiana, do we?
If I were to guess, I'd say it was... Probably
from coast, because they work at thinking of different ways to fix shrimp, different things you can do with shrimp.
The shrimp.
Dale, if you wanted to, if you like the blue cheese flavoring to your stroganoff,
right?
You can do what I do and just forget it was in the refrigerator for about a month
and toss it in.
Yeah, no.
That would do it. That would.
Right, right.
Definitely make it.
Yeah, that is one of the benefits of doing leftovers. You can't always see the pretty colors that you're eating.
I don't know if you know this or not, but the Kraft Foods Company is opening a plant in Jerusalem. They're going to call it Cheeses of Nazareth.
Oh, man.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Want to hear about the site convention? I guess not.
No.
So, listen. And so, how far are we from eating? I mean, you know.
We're just.
God of mine,
it smells really good.
We're second in line.
It does. It smells.
We're not too far away. Now, see what you guys miss out. I mean, we're doing the old telephone interface all the time.
Yeah.
I keep telling y'all. Get Tommy to get in the car, drive y'all down.
That may be the thing to do. We may have to do this. Sometime ever again.
Start doing remotes.
Not me.
Yeah, this is great.
It is. This is much better.
It's nice having everybody here, too, that everybody took the time to come down and hang out with us.
Well, I wish we had some more questions so we could get some more people on the air.
We need some more audience participation.
We have some more audience participation. We'd love for you to just come up and talk to us. You don't like us, huh? Okay. All right.
No questions, no answers.
No questions, no answers. Do what?
Now, you know, a couple days ago, we went over to a friend of mine's house, his dad, his grandpa, actually. We were eating dinner, and he looked at his grandpa, and he asked him, hey, are these plates really clean? Because they did. They felt kind of slimy. And his grandpa said, yeah, they're as clean as cold water can get them. And we're like, well, okay, no problem. But then, you know, we ended up, you know, having a little of that clear fluid that grandpa made himself, and ended up not being able to make it home. So we spent the night, and the next morning we got up, and grandpa was fixing his scrambled eggs.
Yep.
And we got to, you know, my friend looked at the plates and he goes, man, there's, you know, you could still see residue from the meals that we had the night before on the plates. And he's like, grandpa, what's up with these plates? And he goes, well, they're as clean as cold water can get them. So, okay, well, we'll accept that, you know. I mean, all right, we're still alive. But we got ready to leave a little bit later, and his dog was in the, you know, laying in the doorway. And he was like, cold water, get out of the way. Let these boys go home.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. I'll add that to my collection. Clean as cold water can get them.
That's yeah.
Man. That's good.
Got to do what you can do.
So, no dessert today?
No dessert today. I was like, wow, wonder what we can do that without refrigeration and running water. And
that's true.
I was trying to make it, plus, if anybody asks, we aren't cooking. We have cold water.
Those blind guys cooked a meal up. I can just hear them at the hotel.
How to juggle your cooking knife?
I could do that. I'll need a volunteer, though, Boop.
Yeah.
Come help.
How to juggle your cooking knife. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it
is. Yeah. We're taking off the first batch of brochettes here, so.
Taking off the first batch.
We'll be heating some more up. This George Foreman grill I've got, there's all kinds out there, y'all, in the Hamilton Beaches as well. And I'm on this George Foreman grilling list, and some of the response from people, I don't know if anybody out here has the new George Foreman that has the removable plates, but some of the response we're getting is it doesn't cook as well as the old Georges.
Really?
But the Hamilton Beach little indoor griller like this does have removable plates, and it has a little better grease trap system or grease catching system from what I understand, but I haven't actually seen one. Does anybody out there have a Hamilton Beach?
We can't hear you back there. Can you come up here?
Tell us about the Hamilton Beach.
It's hard. We can't. We're doing radio, and they can't see you, and they can't hear you back there. Patty Farron?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. You brought your husband, Dave. That's nice of you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I decided to bring him.
That was really nice of you. We're glad you brought the boy.
That's her bodyguard.
Is it?
All right.
All right, now what were we... We
have a General Electric with the removable plates, and the grease tray slides like in a drawer on the slide. It's not on the side of the grill. It's not laying loose like the George Ford.
Right, yeah, that George, it lays loose in front.
That's one of the reasons why we liked it when we were looking for one.
And so the grease goes down through the cooking surface, or what?
It's slanted on the right-hand side of it, and it's slanted, and it drips into the little bit.
Okay. Well, the George drains it to the front.
Right.
It has the same little grooves in the cooking, in the tray.
Yeah, it's grilled.
So it looks like you cooked it outside.
Yes.
Looks like you cooked it on a grill. Well, do you like it? What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, we love it. I cook everything in it.
And it's made by who? Made by
General Electric.
GE.
By GE.
Yeah.
That's a good tip, because for blind people, that tray can get a little bit awkward, because I bump it all the time. You move it, and you don't want grease all over your cabinet.
And on one of your shows before, you were talking about cooking bacon, and I make bacon in there because it doesn't splatter or anything.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people have written after that show. A lot of people wrote in, you know, talking about cooking bacon on it.
In your George Foreman.
On the
grill.
George Foreman. I mean, that's a great idea. Easy, and the grease will drain down to the front.
Right.
And like you said, it won't splatter everywhere.
Right.
It
doesn't curl up either.
No.
Right. There you go.
You know, that's right. It couldn't curl up, could it? It'd have to be some tremendous bacon if it.
Yeah. Now I've got a friend of mine that even levels his George out, and he even does scrambled eggs and stuff on his.
He raises the front up.
Yeah,
the
raises the front so it won't run out. And but that's rusty.
Yeah, that's.
You had an excellent way of cooking bacon. we do all at one time in the frying pan with the lid on. You want to explain that?
Yeah, basically for cooking the bacon in the frying pan, and actually this came from Mr. Parr, was to put it in your skillet and then put a lid on it, and it will. Yeah, the bacon's so thin that it will actually cook all the way through without you having to take it and turn it and mess with it, which is that's the way to go.
Well, I didn't think I read that on some blind magazine, but you can fry eggs like that too. And I rue the day I learned to do that, because now I eat too damn many eggs since I can cook them myself. Used to I had to get somebody to cook them, and you know now I can cook. If I want bacon and eggs, I can do it myself.
Susie, you have a comment about all this?
Okay, I came up here to talk about one thing, but when you got on bacon, do you ever cook the bacon in the oven?
Yep, I have.
Okay, that's a wonderful way. You can put probably 8 pieces in that famous pan that everyone should own, the 11 by 13 pan.
Everybody has.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you put the oven on, do you put it on broil or?
No, you put it on 350.
350.
Bake.
Uh-huh. Bake.
Okay.
And you can just put your bacon in there, just stretch it out, and just, I usually put it in, not the long, long way, but the other way, and it kind of curls up a little bit,
yeah.
But it'll shrink right down. The only thing is when you pull it out of the oven, please push it all the way to the back of the stove, because once I didn't, and I ended up with deep second-degree burns. But we were talking about the George Foreman grill, and if any of you like hot dogs that have that grilled taste where they're kind of almost burned.
Just a little crusty on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. If you will do your hot dogs frozen, take them out and just break them apart and put them on that George Foreman frozen,
mm-hmm.
They'll cook all the way through and they'll have that wonderful crispy
edge. How long do you cook them on the George Foreman?
Until they get done. You can just smell. I mean, they have this wonderful smell.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, I don't know, about 2 minutes, maybe, tops.
2 minutes from frozen?
Mm-hmm.
What a deal.
So
and that's the only way to eat hot dogs, in my opinion, is when they're burnt.
I love them
when they're burnt.
But if you put them on there when they're frozen, it's all the difference in the world. So try that.
All right. Well, thank you, Susie. You're going to make someone a wonderful wife someday, Susie. You know
Susie, how long do you do the bacon in the oven?
About 20 minutes.
You used to teach cooking school?
Cooking skills.
Cooking to blind people?
Yes.
Really?
Blind adults. Mm-hmm.
To blind adults. Well, I didn't know that. I read your bio and I didn't see it in there.
It was in there.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
what kind of grade do we get?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. What kind
How are we
grade
doing?
Do we get? All right, I tell you what let's do. Let's take a final little break and then let Don Shaw sample a shrimp imbrogé and be back in just a minute with more of our little show called Cooking in the Dark as a Blind Like Me show. John?
Hi, my name's Donna. And for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
Love
to a warmer
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for
singles. Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Thank you.
that is playing the keyboard, Ain't Misbehaving, that's John Justice, our own John Justice, ladies and gentlemen, who has has come to be with us, and he's going to sing for us tonight and play the keyboard, and we're going to have a big time. I wish you were here. Of course, we'll all be just about over our hangovers by the time this runs on the air.
If we're lucky, we will be.
So, Shaw, let's have a reading on the shrimp imbroge jalapeno.
Just super.
Was it out of sight? That good?
It was great. Fantastic.
All right. Now, that's the best compliment a chef can have right there.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Thank you. You don't get a Buick. But I think we're out of Buicks, aren't we?
Probably.
I believe so. We were really like this audience participation. That kind of makes everything worth it. Anybody else have any cooking tips for blind people? What do you folks have against the regular old flat cookers like you cook bacon in the microwave with?
Nothing.
I like those fine. I've also got one. I think I've talked about this before, that the bacon hangs on. It has six little spikes that come out of this lid, and you hang the bacon strips over this thing, and the grease drips down into a jar. You just put a paper napkin over it and stick it in the microwave. And there, you buy. That's the kind of thing you buy at a flea market that's done with a kiln. What do they call that?
Ceramic.
Kiln? A ceramic.
It's a ceramic. So they're very breakable. If you drop the lid, you're over, and that's what's happened. I've got several pots and no lids anymore, and I can't find the guy that makes them. But they were handy, as they could be.
Ceramic lid.
Yeah, I just got in. In fact, we just all the orders everybody placed with all the progressive cooking stuff, the special offer we had through the cooking list, came in bunches of boxes all night. So I've been going through that, trying to get all the orders spread out. But we had several of the bacon, the microwave bacon racks and different microwave cookers and things like that. Cooking in the microwave is great once you learn how to do it. It takes a little bit of practice. But I'm sorry?
You had a sale?
We had a special offer from Progressive Cookware to members of the cooking list and everybody, and basically it was anything in their product, catalog, they gave us a great offer on. So we were able to, I had to scan it and then read it and transfer it, and it was a lot of paperwork for me, but it worked out well.
But this is over? We can't.
Items are still available, if anybody's interested in seeing what there is to offer or what has been offered, just send me an email to cookinginthedark@houston.rr.com, and I'll be happy to email the catalog to you. And we have to order in, we have to place an order of at least $150 to get the prices. So that's why I offered it to the list. We had about 12 or 15 people took advantage of it.
So you just wait until you get enough orders to do
it? Yeah, once we get the $150 order, then we'll place it and get it filled and get it out to everybody. But they're giving us prices at about 25% off retail of cooking items and all types of microwave stuff, spatulas, goodness gracious.
Whatever
you name it, they've got it.
They're not the ones that make the talking thermometer.
No, that's a separate company that makes that.
So we don't get any.
And we also just had a special on the Voila again, a special offer from Assistech.
Yeah.
In fact, I brought the barcode reader with me if anybody wants to play with it or look at it.
You're going to mess with it. You have that with you? You don't have that at hand, though, do you?
Yeah, sure do.
You do?
Got it right here with me.
Why don't you demonstrate that for us? We never have done that before, because we've never.
Yeah, the unit itself is about 6 or 7 inches long. It's like a big pin. And it has two buttons on the top of it. You press the start button.
All right.
Hello.
The unit says hello.
Run it.
And then if you don't scan it quick enough, it says bye-bye.
The only thing I don't like about it is it says bye-bye awful quick.
It says bye-bye real quick, doesn't it?
It says bye-bye quicker than most of those women I used to ask out. And that's damn fast, I'll tell you.
You couldn't always track them down.
No, you couldn't.
But you press hello and you run it through its special barcode. And it will...
Recording.
Black beans.
Hold it up to the mic. I can't hear it. Hold it up close to the
mic. Let me scan it again here.
Scan it again. Here we go.
There we go.
Hello.
You record in. Whoop.
Bye-bye.
I've got a whole bunch of barcodes on this case. I'm trying to get one here.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're right. See, it says bye-bye awful quick.
Bye-bye. Yeah. See,
But there it went. It just scanned it. And then you press recording. Hello, this is Black Beans at the Cooking in the Dark show.
Finished. Bye-bye.
And as long as you hold the recording button down, it will continue to record your voice. It has a maximum capacity of 750 seconds and 250 barcodes. So you can have one barcode for 750 seconds or three barcodes for 250, you know, you got the idea.
Yeah, I got that.
But I use it all the time going to the grocery store. Every time, you know, I label as the sales clerk that's helping me pulls items off, be it soups or any canned items, I just label it as we go. So when I get home, they're already labeled. Cake mixes, anything like that, any box, anything that has box directions, I'll do the same thing with it. I'll have them kind of give me a summary of, you know, what temperature, how much, say a cake mix, you know, how much water or milk or how many eggs or whatever. Yep. And I just record that into the voila, and then it's there when I get home.
So you take it to the grocery store with you. And you have somebody that you've taken to the grocery store, and you get them to read.
Yeah, when I go in, I basically just walk up to the customer service counter, and I've educated them enough that they know when I come in that I'll need somebody to help me shop. And there's probably two or three people in the store that help me, so they know what products I buy and know what I need, and we just go shopping. And as they grab, like we get to the fruit aisle, you know, or the cans, yeah, Campbell's soup. And you know, I need two cans of cream of mushroom, a can of broth, and they'll pull it, I'll label it, and. Right. And away we go.
And so you get the guy at the store to read you the directions on the box into your recorder.
Yes.
Does this guy got nerve or what? That's great.
Yeah, I don't allow them not to. In fact, I had a lady that helped me a few weeks ago, and every time she couldn't find something, oh, we're out of it. I'm like, bull, let's find somebody else. Well, this last time when I was going to the store to get the stuff for this show, she came up to help me, and I said, look, we're not going to play this we're out of it crap today.
You just told her that.
I told her flat out, and she goes, well, you don't have to be abusive. And I go, ma'am, I'm not being abusive yet, but you taking advantage of my blindness is making me angry, you know, just because you... Anyway, bottom line, we got another guy to help me, and we jammed right through and got the stuff. But
so when they see you coming up to the grocery store, they're going, I'm going to the back room.
Yeah, they're probably going, oh crap, here comes that crazy blind guy again.
Well, you know, you think that.
But you know, I mean, it's not.
I agree with you.
There's a line, you know, a line between being assertive and aggressive, and you can't if you lay down and let them walk on you. You know, you're going to get that sacker that can't read or write, and he's going to be trying to help you shop, and all of a sudden the shopping trip's going to take 5 hours. And you know, I've got more time than that.
Well, it's just hard to find an MBA in the meat market, though, isn't it?
Yes.
That'd be the thing, you know.
Yes. And you know, and that's there's the couple guys that help me shop now. If they can't find something or they don't know what it is I'm asking for, they go find somebody that does.
Well, what about when they don't speak English?
I don't think we do.
So, but it's just going in and you know, telling them what you, and it's just, you know, having them help you. I mean, you're there in their store. I look at it as we're there spending money, we're supporting their store, so, and they're set up for the sighted world, so, you know, we need a little help.
I see nothing wrong with what, I'm not criticizing what you're doing. I'm just saying I don't know that I would have the cojones to do that. I would at my age, I probably would, but I don't have to do that anymore. Well,
all right.
I don't have to do it because I got somebody to do it for me. But I guess if I did have to do it, if it was necessary for me to go shopping, now I'll have to go to the grocery store and tell them all to kiss my, you know.
Yeah.
Just to show you I can.
That's right. Well, y'all, this stroganoff is about ready.
All right.
For serving, we're going to be serving it today over Chinese noodles. So everybody can sample it.
Yeah, man.
The shrimp brochettes, we're going to be putting another batch on. The ones we're going to be putting on now are, I think, we're going to be pretty much all jalapeno.
Chinese noodles.
There's two regular, and the rest will be jalapeno. So anybody wants any, speak up. We've got, I brought with me also a couple of the Cooking in the Dark cookbooks, if anybody would want to take a look at those, was great from the cooking list. Yes, they're in Braille.
Really?
And so somebody can read them and tell me what the heck they say.
I had to call
Marjorie. Marjorie Arnott did the brailing for us, and she did a great job. She has a whole host of cookbooks as well, y'all. Three-ingredient, two-ingredient. She's got about 70 different cookbooks, some of which I've been uploading to Blind My Smart just to make them more accessible and available to us. But she did a great job brailing them. But I had to call her and say, hey, what did you braille the titles on these? Because they all felt like they read the same, but on the outside, much. You labeled them Cooking in the Dark, Recipe Collection, volumes, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So now I know where to look for to find out what volume is what.
Well, I'll tell you, Dale, Susie Barnes here is the first one in line to get one of those cookbooks from you. So.
Fantastic. All right.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that Susie can actually read Braille.
All right.
Any truth to that?
I'm going to be hooking her up here.
Yeah,
the cookbooks are available in electronic format as well. I didn't bring any of those with me.
In other words, on a floppy
disk. On a regular
CD,
so they can be downloaded into a Braille note or into any type of brailing device or just put on your computer.
What do these cookbooks sell for, sir?
The cookbooks are $56.50 for the whole set. $17.50 for each edition. There's four different volumes. One volume is entrees and soups. One volume is vegetables and sides, salads, and breads. Another volume is desserts, pies, and cakes.
Okay.
And another volume is cookies and snacks.
That's kind
and
of
each one, I mean, all together, there's like 162 recipes. They were all submitted by Cooking in the Dark members.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them are family favorites, traditional recipes. Some are easy recipes. Some are ones you probably recognize from being done on the cooking show.
That's kind of a strange price. Why not...
You know, that's the Braille price.
Braille price. Yeah.
Yeah, $17.50 a book.
Okay.
So what we did was we discounted the price of all four volumes like 15% to get it down to the $56.50. The electronics are $25.
Really?
And all the sale of all of these goes to benefit the Mouse Hole Scholarship Program.
The Mouse Hole Scholarship.
All right.
Of which I'll let y'all know, we got a letter from Zachary Davis, you know, our winner, our A&M student, our man in the Corps. And he said, said it's going great. He loves college. He loves going to A&M. And even at the Corps, one of the problems he was having was keeping his shoes shined.
Yeah.
So they hooked him up with some shoes that don't need to be shined.
Now, he was
patent leather. So it's just, it's great to see that they, you know, they're going out of their way to help him adapt to being in the Corps.
He's a partial, isn't he?
Total.
Oh, he's a total?
Total. He's the guy that went to Canada and shot a six-foot black bear and went on safari in Africa. And he's a go-getter. I'm proud to have him being a Mouse Hole Scholarship winner.
Well, you're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linda Justice, if you don't mind.
She's got a question here.
Everybody's here. Can I have the microphone? Oh, it's right here.
We're going to let you talk on a microphone, Linda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is.
It feels
it may not look like a microphone.
By the way, the stroganoff is excellent. That's what we have here so far. Question, do you have any more cookbooks, number one, that I might look at in Braille? Dale?
Yes, I brought three volumes.
Oh, you did?
Three complete books.
Okay, and how can one... What's that?
Get the stroganoff off your reading fingers.
Yeah, we'll have to charge extra for that book if
I'll
it comes flavored.
The there we go. Okay.
It'll be a scratch and scent reading, scratch and taste
Don't
Braille book.
Other question. How does one submit recipes?
To submit, basically, the recipes for, we already submitted them for this list,
for the
or
future,
for this. Right. I guess, volume. And, you know, we may do it again later.
Okay.
Why not?
But what we did was we put out, you know, just a disclaimer or put out a notice to the on the cooking list. And at first we weren't going to do it because we didn't have much of a response. And then I came back from vacation, and goodness gracious, it went crazy. So we even had more... recipes and what we were able to use because of the size of the book.
I've got some good microwave recipes, easy to do things, and that sort of thing.
That would be great.
So you
that
just post it on the list when you're ready for, like if you decide to do another cookbook, you'll post it on the list. And,
yeah, we'll put a notice on the Cooking in the Dark list.
You might make it an ongoing thing, just leave that
make it
post
a yearly
on
thing.
There.
Yeah, this one was really, this was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of work, too, and thanks to, you know, Penny Reeder and Susan Lumpkin and Ann Morris. They really came through and helped us out. And we can thank Steve Stewart for kind of prompting us and getting us going on it. He
Did
was
he?
The one that kind of, yeah, he was the one that kind of initiated it. I was thinking about it, and then he wrote to me and said, why don't we do this? So we took off, and,
well,
and we did
it. Off early so I can finish my lunch?
Yeah, man.
So how is it? What do y'all have over there? Stroganoff?
I have the stroganoff. It's excellent.
Oh,
it is.
Fantastic.
Good.
Nice, easy, and it's a very, very easy meal. It doesn't take that long to do. And it feeds a lot. It'll definitely fill you up, and especially if you do it with, you know, pasta or serve it over rice. It's very flexible.
I love Chinese noodles, though.
If you want to, you can add. I put a little salt and pepper on it. If you want, you can always add more pepper, more salt. The red wine's a great little add. You know. A great little addition as well. Brochettes are coming along nice.
You'll
be ready for one.
You'll be ready for one. Well, this is great, and it's been great. We've cooked. You want to go over what you've done and how you've done it?
Sure. I guess the main meal we made today, live here with our studio audience, was beef stroganoff, and it's a very, very simple, kind of a poor man's stroganoff, if you will. But you start off with an onion diced up, saute it with some mushrooms in a hot skillet, add in your beef or turkey meat or ground chicken, whatever kind of meat you want to use, brown it. And once it's brown, then you want to add a can or two of the rule I use is I use one can and 8 ounces of sour cream to every pound of meat. So in this case, we use 2 pounds of meat, so I use 16 ounces of sour cream, which is a pint tub or a half pint tub, I guess, and 2 cans of cream of mushroom soup. Mix it all up, put the fire down low, and let it simmer. And the longer it simmers, the longer it will cook in. But cover it when you do to let it simmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then serve it with your choice of rice or Chinese noodles, pasta. A salad goes great with this, as well as a big, nice glass of red wine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'd clap, but I'm eating. I'm too busy here. I think I've finished. Man. Who needs a pizza and beer? Oh,
right.
We need the beer.
Just bring the beer.
We may need that. Anyway, that was delicious, Dale. We appreciate you. And let's see. This will run next weekend, I guess.
Fantastic.
Hopefully
it will.
Right.
If they're still on. And I guess maybe the Houston taping for the Blind Radio Reading Service will... where are the Bartletts?
They will run it. I'm set up to send the show to Houston taping, in fact, next week. So
the shows that we
all
did
right.
live to them next
show.
Week.
These very shows.
So they should be on sometime next week on Houston taping.
They sure should.
We are in Houston, Texas, visiting with, of course, Tom Houston and Don Shaw, Don Patterson, and a studio audience, and Dale Campbell's Cooking in the Dark, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
We'll have to do this again sometime, Dale.
Yeah, this was great. This was a lot of fun.
It really was, and besides that, we got fed, and that's...
You guys finally get to sample all the great stuff we're cooking.
And you paid for it, and we're all happy about
that. That's right. Actually, I'll thank Blind My Smart. It picked up the tab today.
Blind My Smart picked up the tab.
Well, yeah, the recipe, we won't have any recipes posted. The recipes will still be up from last month's show with the lemon pasta shrimp that we did, which was absolutely delicious. That'll still be up. And maybe next, we can rerun that Thanksgiving show before Thanksgiving that we did last year.
The one that didn't get run.
We need to run that this year again.
Why don't we do that? We'll just run that, and we won't have to do another one. That would save us that trouble. Anyway, thank you, sir, and we'll move along and see you next time on Cooking in the Dark. Dale Campbell. Thank you,
everybody. All right. Thanks, y'all.